St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show. The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, that was a weird sound. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in today on a rainy day here, a rainy Tuesday in southern Utah. And Vic Iverson is with me, County Commissioner. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning. It is awful rainy out there, isn't it?
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, I was telling you that water has been the issue with almost every public figure I've had on for the last forever.
Yeah.
It's still an issue. It's just a different issue now.
Yep, exactly. As we've talked about water in the past, Andy, I always like to say, you know, in this country, in southern Utah, Washington County, you're always going to have droughts and floods.
Droughts and floods.
A lot of times they come in the same year. And so we've been praying for rain. This is a beautiful blessing. From the numbers and charts that I'm seeing, I think everybody else is kind of seeing the same charts, is that we're approaching historic water amounts out there, and it still just seems to be coming. And so our emergency operation folks and law enforcement working with other agencies, I mean, we're trying to warn everybody. I'm especially nervous a little bit about our good citizens that live up in the Brookside area, up in Central, down along the Santa Clara. I know there's some homes that are fairly close to the stream, and normally those streams are beautiful little trickles of water, right?
And brooks,
yeah Brookside. It's beautiful, but unfortunately with this type of water, is we're going to see amounts of water that we normally don't. And so I'd encourage all the property owners along there to really take all of the warnings that they've been given, make sure their vehicles and trailers and everything are out of the floodplain area. Get the sandbags. We have sandbags around the county that we've prepared, so just take it serious. And I don't know how anybody couldn't. I do know that we had a discussion the other day about a blockage that somebody had up there that we need to take care of. So anyway, just encourage everybody to stay safe out there.
I don't know if you can see this. I have the satellite photo kind of drawn up. I don't know if you can, but yeah, the big green, scary looking clouds all day long.
Exactly.
So, now we have actually two kind of separate things going on. We have, of course, the rain and the moisture coming out of the sky right now. We have also a very, very large snowpack. In fact, it's approaching the largest snowpack ever, right?
Yep, exactly.
And that's got to come down eventually.
Yeah, and I mean, we're super excited. For the first time in quite a few years, you know, you're seeing reservoirs like Gunlock. You're seeing the Enterprise reservoirs that have really never filled up over the last, you know, multiple years. It's been, I would say it's been 10 years since they've been full. And all of them are full right now, or very close to full. And unfortunately, we haven't even started what's called runoff yet. And so we're still collecting water in the higher elevations, and yet we're close to full on almost all of our reservoirs. So, you know, it's a blessing.
I had a picture. My buddy Milt sent me a picture of SR18 today. And let's see if I can find it real quick for you. Yeah, there's SR18 headed up to toward Enterprise. He works in Enterprise.
Yeah.
And there's snow.
Yeah. I mean, there is concern about city of Enterprise. I mean, they have some drainages that come down into that area that they've been working hard to prepare for, and so we are concerned about the reality of when this water comes down. And luckily, we've been blessed with cooler weather, but as we approach summer, it's going to be nervous.
We want it to get warm, but not too warm too fast.
Yep.
That would be bad.
Yeah. So it's the nature of living in this country. And as you read the historical, you know, they've been keeping track of weather here since the pioneers first came. And we go in cycles. And right now we know what cycle we're in. So
are there some things, and I asked Nanette Billings just the other day, the hurricane mayor, are there some things that, I know this sounds like a silly question, are there things we haven't thought of? Have you racked your brain and said, okay, we got this and this and this, everything seemed like it's taken care of. Is there something that we're neglecting or we haven't thought of or we need to worry about with the rain and the runoff and the possible flooding? Is there something out there? I know it's your job to try to think of everything, but sometimes that's hard.
Well, we definitely have a lot of things to worry about. But community, you know, the emergency preparedness folks are there. The cities have, you know, they've been prepared. if you remember a little while ago, they had contractors that were staged on bridges to make sure that debris didn't catch. I was talking to Mayor Rick Rosenberg from Santa Clara. He's also an engineer, and he also works with what's called the Flood Authority, which is really down here in St. George, Washington, Santa Clara, and the county. And there's been a lot of mitigation work along both the Virgin River and the Santa Clara since our floods back in 05 and 06.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they've taken in a lot of, stone, and they've wrapped those edges so that you don't have the water undercutting as much. And so he was really pleased that our last flood that we had a few days ago, last Wednesday, that it really responded the way it was supposed to be. I know that some people might have seen photos from Southgate Golf Course where it did leave its banks and go up onto the course. But what it did is it just left mud and a little bit of debris. It didn't like wash it out. And that was exactly what the engineering and planning had been done. And now with that said, the Flood Authority has been in operation and been doing these projects for quite a while, and yet we know that we're not done. And so there are going to be weak points in the system, but we hope that we're much better prepared than we were a decade ago when we were dealing with those floods as far as downtown here.
When you think about 2005,
yep.
That was 18 years ago. My guess is the population of St. George was 45,000 then, and now we're close to 100,000. Washington County is, what, 200,000? 220?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are much larger, the exact so the number.
The landscape has changed quite a bit. And, you have areas that, 15, 18 years ago, if it flooded, was no big deal. Now there's a subdivision there or whatever. And do you see any areas, you mentioned Brookside, do you see any other areas that there didn't used to be anything that you need to worry about now here in the county?
Well, I don't want to scare anybody, but here in St. George, I mean, there are quite a bit of development down closer to the river. And and I hope that those people understand that they do live in a floodplain area and they've taken the precautions. Like I said, I believe that the cities and the Flood Authority have done everything they can as fast as they can to try to mitigate that. That's not always easy work. You have to secure right-of-ways, property, things down along the river. But I do worry about, for example, the beautiful neighborhood of the Springs and down below Stone Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because when you see historical photos and you see photos of
that area,
when the Virgin River, the Fort Pierce, and the Santa Clara all run at the same time, that can be an awful lot of water to try to fit down through there. But we haven't seen that in a long time, and we've done a lot of work. And so our hope is that we can kind of get through this without too much flooding.
Okay.
And that's not a real positive thing to be talking about on this day. But I'm just – and another thing we do like to – I know that when it's rainy and as rainy as it's been, you've been inside for so long, a lot of people are maybe taken to the roads. And we'd encourage them to be very safe out there. And frankly, I would encourage them not to go out on those roads right now. It tears them up. I know that, just so everybody knows, is that the Mataqua Road is closed. And there is a way for people that need to get out there, that live out there, to get out. Mataqua, for people that might not know, is on the very far west side of the county. So you would take off before you get to Gunlock, and that's that road, and that is washed out. It's undercut. General Steam also was washed out. And here's the problem that the county has, is that we know there's more water coming. So, it's like jump in and try to fix it when you know that, like, 2 days later,
it's going to do it again.
It's going to wash it out again. So that's kind of some of the challenges that our road crew and others are facing right now.
About Gunlock, I had a friend who went out to Gunlock Saturday. Actually, my wife went out, I think, Friday. They said it was like an anthill. There were people everywhere. What is your recommendation on Gunlock? Should people stay away? Should they try to go at an off time? Should they just – what do you think?
I would just use caution and common sense. When I've been out to Gunlock during these times and I see young people diving off those rocks, they need to know that where they're diving, there is a very large rock very close to the surface. And I believe that we're up to three or four people that have died there. There's
I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah. I remember someone diving in, hitting their head, and that was it.
Yeah, and so I would, if you're going to go out there, just use caution. I would be very careful if you were going to take young children there. The water is running swifter than I've ever seen it. And wow. So just take caution. It's common sense, and especially don't jump off those rocks out of Gunlocks. So
I wouldn't do it.
I do think that they're encouraging you. In fact, you need to go through the state park, and parking has always been an issue there as well.
Sure.
But the other day when it started to run, we also had other flooding issues there at the very same time, and so people were kind of putting themselves at risk by being there. So just take time. The sun will come out, and then you can go out and see it on a safe day.
Be careful.
Yeah. Be careful.
Okay. Now we talked about what the government and what the agencies have done to get ready. What about when the floods come, and they almost certainly will come some, maybe even today some, what can people do? What are some of the resources that the county and the cities are offering to help deal with some of this stuff?
Well, in these crises, everybody needs to kind of be prepared themselves. It's going to be hard for emergency responders to respond, but
sure.
But we have Jason Whipple and others. They've staged sand. We have plenty of sandbags. Now, the one thing that we haven't done is pre-fill a bunch of sandbags, because the problem is once you fill them, then if you don't use them pretty soon, they don't last. I mean, the sun will rot them and stuff.
Yeah.
So we have those materials ready as it comes. So if you're in a situation where you need some of that resource, reach out to somebody in emergency operations to get it for your home. I'd be taking all the precautions. And also, I'd encourage people to sign up for reverse 911, because that allows an emergency call out to your cell phone if there is, like,
something's happening,
you know, yeah. Flooding in your area and stuff. So it gives you kind of updates on emergencies as they're happening. So
I've been impressed with the way people come together in these situations. I had a neighbor whose house flooded. He was below a new park, and all the water from the park was flooding into his backyard and eventually into his house. And I mean, the whole neighborhood was there helping.
Yep.
People were like, yeah, of course I'm going to help. And, yep. And they just sacrificed their time and their efforts and money and to help people. And that's what it's about down here.
Absolutely. You know, government does not have the capacity to go out and solve everybody's problems. You know, nor should it, you know. And so search and rescue, for example, you know, they'll come and rescue a person and save a life. Mm-hmm. But they're going to leave your vehicle there. So it's not like calling a search and rescue is going to be like calling a tow truck. So
yeah.
That's why I'd continue to encourage people to use wisdom and be smart about it when they go out. And, you know, especially under these conditions, you know, you will get stuck out there right now. So
yeah, or worse.
Or
yeah.
Worse.
And turn around, don't drown, right?
Exactly. There really is that. So anyway, I think for the most part, we have really good citizens here that aren't too, I don't want to use the word stupid, unwise would be better, you know, but.
We'll leave that to the mostly the teenagers.
Exactly, but, yeah. So we want to just keep reassuring everybody and to stay safe out there, so.
Yeah, a lot of water today.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to keep raining throughout the evening, it's supposed to rain even into tomorrow. I think after tomorrow, things are going to lighten up a little bit. But
yeah, it looks
we got to get through the next 24 hours,
exactly.
Probably.
So, well, there's a lot of other things going on in the county as well besides Mother Nature. I mean, we have the county fair coming up.
Yeah, what's the date on the fair?
So the county fair, it's really starts the 14th through the 22nd. So
okay.
What we're doing this year is we kick it off. We have a rodeo, basically the weekend before. It's a great rodeo. We have a special needs rodeo. It's
kind of, now, are you a rodeo guy? You like rodeos? Are you out there riding a horse and stuff, Vic?
I don't ride horses like I used to, but I
okay.
do enjoy. I
but
grew
you
up
used
with
to,
them.
Though. You
I grew
to
up
rider.
With them,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
very
so
nice.
They got us to do a couple of us to do the hide race at the junior rodeo last year.
The hide race?
Yeah, it's where a person with a horse dragging a cowhide will come racing down
okay.
around a barrel on the far end of the arena, and you're supposed to jump on and then race back with them
okay.
as dirt and mud is flying in your face. And it's, you know, it's some of the things we do to entertain people, I guess. But no, that'll be, so we'll have We'll have the rodeo, and then the parade will be on Tuesday. So really the kind of the heart of the fair is from the 19th to the 22nd.
Okay.
And I just encourage everybody. We're going to have a lot of new exhibits. Chris Jansen is going to be performing on Friday night. We have the Demolition Derby. We have quite a few other acts. We have, you know, obviously a huge petting zoo and agricultural display as far as animals go. We're going to do a Pioneer Corner this year. There's quite a bit going on at the fair, and we've just had great attendance. We're crossing our fingers because this weather, you know, the cycle we're in, we're just hoping it's not, you know, wet out there. And
I have a feeling by mid-April it'll be.
Yeah, it definitely has to lighten up. So we'll have more problems than a rained-out county fair if we don't get a little bit of dry weather.
That's true. If it rains for the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Susie LaFaelli is our fair director, and she's working super hard. In fact, I probably should have dragged her in here today if I would have thought about it, just to go over everything that's going on in the county fair. But you can find all of that at washingtoncountyfair.net. It's just, this will be our fourth year that we've moved the fair to April.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's different than August. A lot of people might remember August is brutal. It's extremely hot.
Brutal is
the
word.
And April has been more cool than we would like, but it can be beautiful as well. And frankly, we've had better attendance in April, like substantially better attendance.
Yeah.
And so with a growing county, we see the county fair as one of those things that kind of brings us together. We need more of those things in our county that bring us together. And so we'd like to encourage everybody just to find out what's going on at the county fair and come out. So
nothing like fair food.
Yes. You know? And frankly, moving the county fair has brought a lot more interest in food trucks and food vendors. So I would say that our fair food is better than it's ever been in the past. And so I encourage everybody to come out.
There is food. When you go to the county fair, there is food you have never eaten before and probably will never eat again, except for, you know, like a deep fried Twinkie or whatever. I mean, there's going to be stuff there and be like, whoa, and blow your mind, but it's going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, there's one guy was out there serving these great big turkey legs, you know, they're ginormous, like turkey legs.
Medieval.
I thought, well, I need one of those, you know, and you only need to eat a turkey leg once and then, you know, you're good.
I'm good.
But everybody needs to eat a turkey leg at least once, you know.
Yeah. So. Kind of like that trip I did to Pasadena to see the Rose Parade. I did it once. It was good. But I really don't really want to do it again.
Exactly.
I'm good.
But there's a lot of other good food out there that, you know, the fair has really done a great job. So encourage everybody to come out and enjoy the fair.
And that's mid-April. Do we need to know anything as far as tickets and registration and stuff? I mean, it's not the fall, so we don't have, like, the finished crops and stuff like you would normally have. But
so just so everybody will know, we no longer charge for parking. So you come in, but it is a $2 per person entry into the fair. And that helps pay for a lot of entertainment and exhibits that are on the fair. And then,
so the fair used to be free, but the parking cost. Now the parking is free, but the fair costs a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it just allowed, because the parking became quite a safety hazard and an issue. And so anyway, that's the way the fair is functioning now. And a lot of people, you know, that, you know, have enjoyed it more that way. It seems easier to just come in and park. And then, you know, if there's only one of you, then that's $2. It's not $5. And
so on
and so forth. So that's how we've been doing it. I think this will be our third year of not charging parking, but there is a small entry fee, and it does help a lot for the fair, cover a lot of costs. It costs a lot to run a fair, and so anyway, that just helps cover a little bit. And then part of that goes to charity as well. The local Rotary clubs are the ones that kind of man the gates, and of course they donate all that money back to our community,
and they're doing it for free.
So half of it goes to a good cause, half of it goes to pay for the, and it's only $2. So
very cool.
And with the inflation, you know, that's like, that's a deal.
That's pretty cheap, yeah. We go back to the switch from fall to spring, and we've talked about this before in the show, but I'm still trying to – nobody's ever said it was my idea. A lot of people are, that's a good idea. But I don't remember anybody ever stepping up and saying, actually, I'm the one that pushed that through. Was it you, Vic?
I have to take some responsibility for that. And if you want to blame anybody, you can blame me.
Okay.
But we did do
blame
a lot.
Blame and credit for you.
Yeah, blame and credit. If you like it, give me credit. If you don't, then blame me. But it wasn't all my idea in the fact that we started doing a lot of surveys a couple years before we did it. Mm-hmm. And so we asked the public, hey, what do you like about the fair? What would you like to change? And overwhelmingly, and I mean overwhelmingly, everybody was like, it is too hot. Yeah. And so that was really what motivated us. And it's tough to break tradition. I grew up in Hurricane, and the fair is Hurricane Leverkin. And for us over there, the fair was really kind of a hometown festival.
Yeah, it's dear to your heart, of course.
And so August was when I always went to the fair. I had fond memories of that. It was a tough decision, but it really had to do with what people were saying. And they were just saying August is too hot. And we've seen the results. A lot of people, the fair attendance has increased dramatically. So
I like it. I've been a proponent of it ever since you guys made the announcement. And I think that, well, actually the proof is in the pudding. I've been to the fair the last couple of years when I probably had kind of stopped going to it before that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When it was in August. It was just too hot.
Yeah. And that's what we hope. We hope people form new traditions and come out and stuff. So just a little, as far as festivals and celebrations, I'd like to remind everybody that we're also doing Blueprints for Liberty along with United We Pledge. It's going to be a week right around July, right on the July week. And Glenn Beck, radio talk show host, everybody's familiar with, is bringing out a $75 million exhibit. Some people might remember some of that exhibit came out last year and was in the basement of the Tabernacle. And we're going to have that exhibit on display on the third floor of our new county administration building. And the county administration building, the third floor is vacant. In other words, it's what you call warm shell. It's just a big space. Mm-hmm. We built it that way for future growth. And so that gives us an opportunity to kind of have a mobile museum there. We're really excited about that. We'd encourage everybody to kind of stay tuned as they see that. There, all of the money raised during that time will go towards Liberty Village, which is going to be a great venue in our county celebrating the different parts of American history. It's part of what us county commissioners are calling, you know, making Washington County America's county. And so really celebrating heritage, freedom, and a place where people can get truth about that. So,
nice.
So anyway.
Nice. We're with Victor Iverson, the county commissioner, on the program today. We're going to check in with weather. I do want to give away right now, if you want to go to TEDx, it's Thursday night, this Thursday night, and it's in the indoor theater out at Tuacon, so you don't have to sit out in the rain or cold. Text me right now, TEDx, that's what you need to text to me, at 435-467-5842. The first person to text TEDx to me gets to go to the show. I'm going to be there. My wife said we're going, period.
That sounds fun. Where's it at?
It's at Tuacon at the indoor Hafen Theater.
Oh, wow.
So, and we had last week, we had a couple of the TEDx speakers on. They give them, it is 7.5 minutes. You do not go over, and they said you have to really refine your point because you have a very small portion of time to make your point. So, should be a lot of fun.
That will be.
Again, text me, 435-467-5842.
Compelling guests, hot topics, the latest news. Always on the Andy Griffin Show.
Is there a juicy part in it for me?
Right here on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning into the Andy Griffin Show. Victor Iverson, County Commissioner, is here with me today. Vic is a
good morning, Andy.
Native son of Hurricane Valley over there.
Yeah.
So you went to Hurricane High, right?
Yeah, Hurricane High, Leverkin. I've always, of course, I like to kid around with St. George. Tell them, you know, St. George is the city of my birth, you know, I was born here and lived here for a while.
Everybody was born here that lived in the area because
exactly,
I was in the hospital.
Exactly. So. And my family was living here at the time, and I lived here until I was about three. And then the freeway came through where we were, the back part of my parents' property, and so that was when they sold and moved to Leverkin, and I've lived there ever since. But anyway, I love every part of this county. It is a beautiful county, and each community has its own, a little bit of its own flavor, and just some of the best people, and just fantastic. So,
will you explain the geography? Now, I had Nanette Billings on, a Hurricane mayor, the other day, and she said we're not really too worried about flooding in Hurricane right now because she said the geography makes it so we don't have to worry about like some of the other places.
Yeah, so what you have in both Leverkan and Hurricane is in reality, like Leverkan is a bench, you know, it's high. So the river is, you know, what, 150 feet below in the canyon. That's the reason they had to do the diversion dam way up and then carve the canals on the canyon walls to bring it out. Hmm. And Hurricane's similar. Hurricane has a little bit more of a challenge with what's called the Gould's Wash that comes off the Hurricane Hill. And but they do have some catch basins and other things. And up to this point in time, it can flood down through there, but the homes are set up quite a bit higher, so it's not like some of the other communities that are quite low to the drainage. And so, yeah, I think for the most part, any flooding in Hurricane and Leverkan would be very isolated. It wouldn't be wholesale.
Okay.
I have seen waterfalls off the Hurricane fault, and
really,
so people that. There could be people that get their basements flooded and stuff if it really came down, but for the most part, we don't experience that over there. So,
what's the process with quail and sand hollow when they get full? When they're full, do you just open up the floodgates and whatever water then you know flows downhill?
Yeah,
eventually
then,
to Lake Mead
or
whatever.
Yeah, you would just start letting it out, you just have to let it go, and so. Now, with Quail Lake, so everything goes into Quail Lake, and then it goes over to Sand Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the water, our water system requires that any river water be settled for at least 60 days before it's ready to go through water treatment plant. In other words, the sediment has to settle out of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when the sediment gets too high, they just simply don't put it in the line. But also the diversion dam... That's where they collect water for the different irrigation systems. Leverkan and Hurricane both collect water there as well. So, anyway, and I'm glad you kind of brought that up because there is some maybe information that I need to give in regards to a land exchange that has concerned people that are in the jeeping community, and they see a land exchange between the reserve. Our desert reserve.
I saw something online about this. Yeah,
and then what that is it's a three-way land exchange where the water district is working with private inholders inside of the desert reserve and exchanging land in Warner Valley that the water district is going to buy, and so when people
see
that,
reservoir in, right?
Yeah, and people see that and they get quite concerned. They think, well, they're going to trade out reserve land and make homes there, but it's going to be the reserve. It's going to be the reservoir. And so it's a way for – it's a win-win because we're able to compensate people that have land in the reserve. We're able to get the land for the reservoir so it'll be owned by the water district. And so I just want to reassure everybody that land exchange that they're reading about is the reservoir, not another subservation.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of houses.
Yeah, because it's right out right now. It's where everybody parks and stages. And there will be some of that disruption. But I know that Zach Renstrom has given leaders of the jeeping community notice that they're going to take care of them and preserve their trails and stuff. Because Sand Mountain is really one of the only open ride areas in our county. And so a lot of people, rightfully so, when they see an exchange like that, they think, well, is this another Long Valley exchange where you're going to see, you know, a piece of public land become a subdivision? And I just want to reassure everybody that this is the exchange for the reservoir. And I would say that Warner Valley is one of the most important water projects we have coming on in the county, in the history of the county. And all of them have been important, right? But this one's very important. So.
It's a big one. Yeah, especially with Lake Powell pipeline in limbo.
Yep.
Warner Valley's got to be, it's kind of got to bridge that gap.
Yep.
And we've got to have it.
Yeah, so. First we were going to build it for secondary only, but really what you'll see is that most of our water, and you've had Zach Renstrom on, he's talked about this, but we're going to go into reuse, and then it'll give us additional storage. Additional storage is what helps us make it through these droughts. And boy, I wish we had it right now. We could store a lot of nice water in it. So
yeah, and there's going to be a lot of water that we just have to let go.
Yeah, so anyway, just want to reassure the jeeping community that we understand their concerns, we'd encourage them to have a little bit of patience and let us explain what's going on, and we'll work with them on making sure that that access to Sand Mountain isn't disrupted. So
are you a jeeping guy? Are you into that at all? Or
I'm not, but I sure like watching it, and it has a huge impact. I don't think people in St. George realize, you know, we talk about the Ironman and its impact, and it brings a lot of dollars in, but there is a lot of jeeping that goes on at Sand Hollow and out on Sand Mountain. Mm-hmm. And I see them in my neighborhoods at vacation rentals. I see them in town in Hurricane and Leverkin. And I mean, those Jeeps are probably $100,000 pieces of equipment, and they come in and spend money here. So, and then there's a lot of people, there's actually businesses that are relocated just for the jeeping community. So
let's take a quick phone call. Yeah. You're on with Andy and with Victor Iverson. Who's how you doing?
I'm doing well. A little wet right now, but
a little wet. Yes. Well,
I'm currently up by Dixie Rock, and I'm overlooking the new county building. The new massive county building.
We're waving at you right now, Steve. Can you see us? No, probably not. Okay.
Not really. But
all right. That's okay.
Yeah. So, Victor, you had mentioned that the third floor is empty, and that's for future expansion. Actually, most of it is empty. I guess maybe the fourth floor has got most of the activity going on, but it's really a very, very large building. And, you know, the old saying, if you build it, they will come. I can't imagine filling up that building with government activity, but it leads me to actually the third floor. It may be empty now, but it looks like you guys have plans to move Mitt Romney, Mike Lee, and Chris Stewart's federal offices into our county building. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, that we're working with those offices. Historically, years ago, Orrin Hatch's office was in the basement of the old county building, as well as Senator Bennett. And then he moved across the street to the old federal building where the Forest Service is located. But we do have a few outside agencies that rent space from us. We have NRCS that has a small office, and we had an agricultural office in as well. We see that as kind of a synergistic kind of relationship, having their staffers there in the county building. But they'll be paying rent to us.
Well, that may be. But so why would we put and currently they're already in buildings that you call them old buildings. And, yeah, they probably have been around. But those are federal buildings, and you have federal offices in those buildings. And I just think it's a huge mistake to mix our county business with the federal government. I think it's a mistake, and I would encourage you not to do it.
But at the same time, maybe give me a little more thought on the idea that, I mean, we are talking about staff members that represent our elected representatives in Congress. It's not like we're, well, your
no,
point.
These people, Victor, are employees of the federal government. They work for Mitt Romney, Mike Lee, and Chris Stewart. They are part of their staff.
That's true.
It's a huge mistake to mix the county business with federal business. We have enough trouble with the federal government now. I would encourage you not to increase that relationship. They're in current buildings right now, seem to be doing quite fine right now. And by the way, those offices and buildings are rather sparse as well. There's extra space there as well. And Victor, I'm just asking you, please reconsider that, and let's not mix the federal government with the county government. You know, just earlier you were talking about United We Pledge, talking about a liberty and government and Americanism. That's exactly right, Victor. Mixing the federal government with our county government, I believe, is a huge mistake.
I think I agree with you on on concept as far as, you know, we are a political subdivision of the state. The Constitution is a document that is an agreement between the states to form a central government. And we do see this expansion in bureaucracy. However, at the same time, in my role as a county commissioner, I need to look out for the interest of the county as well and try to balance that. But I think we're almost in agreement, but maybe not.
Well, right. It was my original point was you've built this massive building that now you're struggling to find people to fill it. And quite frankly, I walked the third floor and it is massive. And I don't know what you're going to, you know, I can't even imagine our county government, because that's what it is. It's a county government building.
Yeah.
If we're looking for people to tenants, why don't we, instead of building the city's, you know, massive building they've got planned, why don't we move them into a county building that now is already built? There's plenty of room for all of them. Why don't we do that instead of bringing the feds in?
Yeah. Now, you do know that the building is big, but we had different departments scattered in multiple buildings. We're not bringing the Justice Court over. There will be a lot of demand on that space. But what we didn't want to do is to build a building that immediately didn't have any room. So anyway, I get your point. I appreciate you.
All right, let's take a commercial break. Back with more after this.
This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Stay tuned for Clay and Buck coming up next.
Welcome back, Andy and Vic. Instead of Clay and Buck, you got Andy and Vic. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, we should go national.
We don't want to, though.
That'd be a lot of stress to do a national show. But anyway, it is always good to be on your show, Andy, and talk to folks. And our previous caller talked a little bit about our building, and some people have asked when we're going to officially open. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of our offices have moved in. In fact, I think most of them have. The treasurer, I don't know if the treasurer's moved in yet, but our clerk office is there. So if you're going to get a passport or do something, marriage license, they're going to be over at the new building. Our public works and community development are both in the new building on the second floor. Mm-hmm. Assessors is there. We're still working on a few details. I mean, there's things we're going to have a tourism visitor center there. It's going to be open. And tonight's meeting is not going to be held in the new chamber. We're still working on getting all of our mics and
the
visual equipment, the cameras and stuff set up for community television. So we're going to be in the existing building for anybody that wants. That'll be at 4:00. It's a fairly light agenda. There is one item that some people have drawn a little bit of attention to, and that is the proposal to buy a sorting machine to enhance our election process. I support it. I think that, for example, when we had the District 72 race, if we would have been able to sort that race out, it would have made it easier to audit or to even do a more thorough recount. I mean, we did a recount, but to, you know, there were some that wanted us to verify visually with those. And so this piece of equipment will really help the clerk's office. I know that some believe that we should not use machines to count ballots. I am not one of those people. I do believe that machines count accurately, and I think they can be. But I think you should always audit them, and I think we have some great state law that has gone in that will do much, will kind of enhance the audit process along with the canvas. And so people can continue to have confidence in our election process. So,
very good. Back to the phone lines. Hey, thanks for calling. You're on with Andy and with Victor Iverson. What's up?
In 1963, when the existing county administration building was built, it housed many functions other than county government. And it was thought to be too large.
Yep. Hmm.
Obviously, things have changed. And so I applaud the county government, one, for building the building downtown where it needed to be, and two, for constructing a building large enough to serve the county for at least 50 years, if not indefinitely. as far as having functions other than county in the building, I think that's wonderful. It makes it so that people can make one stop and get many things accomplished. It makes ready access rather than looking all over town for offices for other functions. So I applaud County Commission. I think they did the right thing.
Thank you. That's very, very kind. I appreciate that. And I'd encourage people, you know, to come in and see the building. I think we've laid it out with the public in mind. In other words, we have our Habitat Conservation Department that runs the Red Cliffs. They have a role to educate people on endangered species, and then we have our tourism office. So we have this beautiful visitor area on the bottom floor, but everything is laid out in a way that people ought to be able to find the county service, the county department that they need, and conduct the business that they need. And yeah, we had to build it with the thought in mind that it's a multi-generational building.
It'll grow. Yeah,
it'll be used long after, you know, I'm no longer in commission or have possibly in the county
on this planet.
I might be occupying my little burial plot over in Leverkin. So, anyway, that's the hope.
Not anytime soon. Though.
Knock on wood. We're all living on borrowed time, though, aren't we? So, anyway, speaking of that, though, we are going to do a dedication in June for it. We're finishing up with our parking structure that's next to it. We want to make a big deal about the dedication, and so June 16th is actually the date that we have.
Put it on your calendar,
so
folks.
Start putting it on your calendar, and we're gonna be able to have a celebration.
Got a text that said counting machines can be hacked and also programmed to run errant results. Any thoughts on that?
Well, people know that if you allow access to any sort of electronics, there's a chance that it could be hacked. I know our ATM equipment can be hacked. We've seen those studies, and so that is one of the reasons that you need to make sure that you keep your equipment safe, you don't allow people to access it, and you don't hook it up to the internet and allow people to access it. And then you also verify. This is the one great thing. I believe that in this process and talking about election integrity, we have to remember a couple things. You need to work really hard on your voter rolls. Make sure that those people that are getting a ballot are those people who live in the county they are. And then the second thing is the chain of custody. And we're still working on that, but we have cameras at all of our drop boxes. We have a sophisticated verifying equipment, and then we can. There's other ways to verify it. So chain of custody. When it gets to equipment, I know some people are concerned about it. I believe that there's ways to verify and to audit that equipment that you can have 100% confidence, and the human error is higher than machine error. I would say that.
Yeah. For sure. You know, it's funny. I was going to ask, I think it was, I don't know, Adam Snow a couple of months ago or whatever. I said, hey, why is dishonesty with elections, why is it becoming such an issue? But before I asked the question, I got looking into it. There were accusations of election fraud in the late 1700s, early 1800s. This is not new.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think a lot of people, they look across this beautiful country of ours, they see things that aren't functioning right. There's a lot of things that we could... that we need to be concerned about. And so I don't blame anybody for having concerns. I'm just trying to say, let's talk this through and have facts and also recognize the county's role versus state legislature's role and then the equipment that we're going to use to do that. So
awesome. He's Victor Iverson, County Commission, 4 o'clock today, right?
Yes.
But at the old building, not
the
new one.
At the old building, one last time. So
thank you, Victor. Great job as always today.
Hey, thank you, Andy. Take care.
Be back tomorrow. Oh, we got a fun week ahead. Just tune in. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9:00.